Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
All right, good to have you back with us here on a Feel Good Friday as we head towards the weekend, and hopefully we'll all be feeling good a little bit later on tonight, maybe around 10 o'clock, 10:15 or so, as the Washington Capitals look to continue their great play at home at C1A and great play overall as they take on Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins in the 70th all-time matchup between the Pens and the Capitals, with Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin on the ice. And joining us now is the radio voice of the Washington Capitals, Mr. John Walton. You can hear his call on 106.7 The Fan, the Odyssey app, the Caps Radio Network, and 24/7 tonight. Only local call of the game. Again, puck drop just after 7:30. John, Chris Russell here. Great to have you on. Thanks for making time. How are you?
I am good, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's great to hear your voice. Appreciate you making some time for us. Actually, I've heard your voice a lot because I was traveling a lot last weekend, back and forth from Jersey and all over the place. So I got to hear a lot of the back-to-back broadcasts last Saturday and Sunday. Before we get to another back-to-backer, let's set the scene for tonight. I mean, anytime Ovechkin, Crosby go at it, Washington, Pittsburgh, it's special. I guess Vic was just telling me that they've never been stars of the week together at the same time. I mean, we just know what these two have meant to the fabric of the NHL. Do you still get, like, extra pumped up when these two go at it and these two teams go at it, or is it kind of like any other game for you?
Oh, I always get up for these. I think everybody does. I think I was talking with Spencer Carberry this morning, and he was – you know, in year two of this, and I said, you know, does it feel any different than year one? Do you start to develop it? He said, no, I felt it for a long time before that, just being in the organization or just watching as a fan. I mean, it's been 20 years. So We were all in very different places 20 years ago, pretty much all of us. So yeah. I think it's a reflection of time over, I mean, just a gigantic amount of stuff that's happened in that time, the playoff matchups and the milestones. I mean, I remember Ovi getting his 1,000th point against Pittsburgh a number of years ago now, and did it like 51 seconds into the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, just he always gets up for it. I think his teammates, I think the coaches, I think the broadcasters, the fans said, no, it doesn't matter that Pittsburgh's not going well. I don't think the records mean anything on a night like this. I think they can be motivated to jump up and bite the Caps, and I could see the Caps coming out big tonight in the first period like they have all season, too.
Well, and that would be
always great. I can't wait.
Yeah, that would be so huge, obviously, to get the crowd going. I was at the Tuesday game against the Rangers a week and a half ago, which started this five-game stretch for Ovi with goals, and I think he's got, what, 6-5, and five games in a row, and they jumped on him early, and he had the two within the first four and a half minutes. And, you know, we get to hear all your calls for the Ovechkin goals because of, the chase and all that. And, I mean, that building was so electric that night. You know, the atmosphere is going to be great tonight. A, it's a Friday night. B, the rivalry. But C, especially if Alex can extend the streak.
Yeah, I mean, to be able to be where he is, I mean, you know, I'd said from the beginning of the year in any interview or anybody that asked, I thought we'd have a better idea on can he do it this year or not. The answer to that to me lied in what happened in the month of October. And October's been great. So now he's in a position, yeah, that he could – very well later in the year do it. And I think you know, as that scent starts to heighten a little bit, and he's able to, you know, carry this through in the month of November, and you start to think, well, what if he's got 15 or 16 by the time we get to mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, or what if he has 25 at Christmas? I mean, then, you know, you're talking about it, you know, good health is really all that would stand in the way, and then, you know, for me or for Joe B or for anybody national that's calling him, you start to think about, well, man, I mean, this really could be happening now, and it's something that will it'll only come once, and it'll only happen one time. And, man, what a feeling that'd be, and just the lead-up to it, you know, that Gretzky's going to start traveling with us, and the national media starts traveling with us, and then I think it's only going to intensify.
Oh, it'll be unbelievable, and I hope it comes at home, and I hope both of you guys, you and Joe B, get to make the calls, and it's not, you know, it's not a national exclusive broadcast, which, by the way, tonight is on ESPN Plus and Hulu, so the only local call of the game is on the Caps Radio Network, 24-7, 106.7, the Fan, Odyssey app, all that in between with John, Ken, and the crew from Capital One Arena tonight at 7:30. Pregame coverage beginning at 7:15. So, John, I don't get to see every moment of every game, but I watch plenty, and I think I have a pretty good feel and temperature of this team. Like, Alex gets all the headlines and for all the right reasons, but to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, the success of this team so far is because they are getting it from pretty much everywhere. I mean, Strom's great. We all know that. Leading in points, 19 points. But Connor McMichael's been awesome. Alexei Protas has been awesome. Willie started off the year on fire and has been great. Carlson's been great. I mean, Nick Dowd's been awesome. They have gotten it from so many different places that I don't know, maybe I'm missing something. It didn't feel like these places and these amount of contributors were there down the stretch last year as they were making the playoff push.
Not at all. This team is now third in the league in goals for. They're averaging more than four goals a game. And a stat that I dug out and saw leading up to tonight, since October 29th, so we're not talking about a gigantic sample mm-hmm. size here, but in that span, Alex Ovechkin has scored more goals than anybody in the NHL. He's got six. There are three guys with five. Sidney Crosby is one. Jack Roslovic, which is a little bit off the radar with Carolina, he has five. And Connor McMichael has five.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's among the best in the whole damn league at this point over the course of the last 10 days. And I just, it's the contributions like that. It's Protas playing on the top line seamlessly. We're going to talk a lot about that tonight on the mm-hmm. pregame with Spencer Carberry. How Protas, it's not easy for a young player to play with Alex Ovechkin, and he's done it flawlessly. And I marvel at four lines of offense and marvel at what Tom Wilson was doing, especially in those first few games of the season. And it's been a different guy every night. And, you know, they're getting it from the blue line a little bit, too. And they're going to get Jacob Chychrun back. I don't think tomorrow, but I think next week when Toronto's here, I think you're going to get Chychrun back and the big shot that he brings.
Right.
So they don't even have all their pieces, and yet here they are, and doing it 9-12 has been awfully fun.
And they got Matt Roy back the other night, which, you know, for the first time since the season opener, so that's huge. And you just mentioned the Chychrun news, so I'm glad you covered that. We wanted to ask you about that, but you're so right about Protas. I mean, he's awesome. He's great on the penalty kill, so on and so forth. So, you know, and obviously you covered a bunch of other things. I wanted to ask you this. I've noticed this. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I'll throw it out to you. In six of the seven home wins, excluding the Flyers game and the Flyers win, which was on second night of back-to-back, they have either been tied or had a lead going into the third period and not allowed a single goal and won six games by not allowing a single goal in the third frame. To me, it always felt like they would allow, like, kind of like, I don't know, a goal late in regulation and maybe have to, like, figure out a way to win, whether it be OT or late or whatever. I'm so impressed by not allowing a goal in the third period, six of seven home games. And again, these are not one-sided games in all cases, some of them, but they're tight games, John, and they have put the clamps down defensively. And obviously that speaks to a lot of different things.
And one of the big keys goes back to the first period where we end up, you know, seeing them score 19 goals and only giving up seven. So mm-hmm. a lot of time they're playing with a lead anyway after the first period. And I think that's really, you know, a big key to it. But being able to lock it down is important too. And, you know, we have seen that. We've seen it defensively. We've seen big saves. You know, Logan Thompson the other night, you know, with Philip Forsberg from 6 feet out, and thinking, oh boy, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Big saves at the right time have been a big part of it too. So both goalies have been great. Charlie Lindgren going to go tonight and try and beat Pittsburgh. Logan Thompson's going to go tomorrow and try and make it seven straight as the Caps have to go back-to-back. Big late-night flight tonight to St. Louis and playing the Blues in downtown St. Louis tomorrow. So another busy stretch here, 3-4. But, if you can get the lead and lock it down, that always makes it easier.
Yeah. You know how I know, that I've been listening? Because I heard you and Ken several times last weekend saying, oh, boy, we got a late-night drive down Dulles Toll Road to get to the airport Friday night after a late start, and then we've got the long trip to St. Louis. I know how much you guys have been looking forward to this two-game and two-night tango after what you had last weekend, right?
Yeah, we couldn't probably hate it anymore, but that's okay. They feed us, and that's okay.
Yeah.
We will make it work, Chris, and we'll go from there. We'll be fine. They don't. We're just happy to be along for the ride, but we'd prefer it they would do it at a more stately pace than back-to-back and flying halfway across the country.
Understood. I totally get it. I appreciate that, and I just wanted to make mention that I was listening. All right, just wrapping this up, I know you got a busy day and a quick turnaround. You mentioned Spencer Carberry a couple times, and obviously the head coach is instrumental in everything. How has he changed, maybe from what you can observe or maybe what you know, from year one to year two? And he did an outstanding job last year. Has he changed in any sort of way that you can maybe pick up on, even if it's a subtle change?
I think that he is just the same guy that he has been. I think everybody benefits from being more experienced in the head coach's office or on the microphone or whatever it may be. And I think he's just done a fabulous job. I mean, they don't hand out the Jack Adams for Coach of the Year in November. But if they did, he'd probably have it. He and Scott Arneil, our old buddy, used to be an assistant here in Winnipeg now.
Yeah,
both would probably get strong consideration for that. I think that he goes with the players. He doesn't tinker too much. He hasn't had too much. He'll try and blend it if he has to. He's gone with the goaltending tandem where they go every other, and both guys seem to be rested, so both goalies are pretty happy. They know what to expect and when they're going to play, and you know, maybe somebody ends up grabbing more games eventually, but right now it's been split down the middle, and the 2-2 this weekend helps. So, no, I think everything across the board has been really good, and I think it helps when you've got good players. I mean, the sense, Chris, among internal, just, you know, talking to people around the team, you know, some people think this has been kind of a surprise. Oh, look, the Caps, right? They're in first place and in or around first place all year, winning all these games, scoring all these goals. You know, how are they doing it? And the mood internally is, well, we went out and got better players, and we're not surprised at all. I mean, I think that's there's a lot to that. I mean, a lot of people were dumping all over the Caps in the preseason saying, oh, you know, it's going to be Carolina, it's going to be New Jersey, it's going to be the Rangers. People were still putting air in Pittsburgh's tires, which I don't understand because, quite frankly, Chris, I mean, look, Pittsburgh can win tonight because it's a rivalry game, but every other night, Pittsburgh's not very good.
No,
they're not
I agree.
A playoff team. They're not going to make playoffs this year. And, you know, they're old and they're slow. And, you know, all they have right now in the back half of 2-2 is they've got Washington in front of them, so they're going to be motivated because of that. But, you know, this is a good hockey team, and they're much better than the other teams that are below them in the division. And, you know, they have good health. They got the right coach. They got the right players. This, to me, we'll be playing playoff hockey in springtime.
John, great to catch up with you. Hope you're feeling well and doing okay with everything that you are dealing with in your world. And it's great to have you on. Thanks for making time for us. Safe travels, not only, you know, tonight and tomorrow and back and all that stuff and everywhere in between. Appreciate you as always.
No problem, Chris. Always happy to do it. Thank you.
That is the voice of the Washington Capitals, John Walton. You can hear the only local call of the action tonight between the Caps and the Penguins, Crosby and Ovechkin, on 106.7 The Fam and the Odyssey app and Caps Radio 24/7. 7:15 the pregame, 7:30-ish the puck drop. I can't wait for tonight, baby. Friday night, don't have a show to worry about tomorrow. Get to watch the Caps. Maybe have a drink or two, maybe a tuna sub.
I'm actually currently having my tuna sub right now.
Oh, is it good?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
All right. Well, there you go. But thanks to you.
There's a lot to watch tonight, though, with the Cavs.
That's true.
We got Maryland basketball
Maryland basketball against
right
the Mount.
Right here on the Team 980.
Yeah. You got the Wizards against not Ja Morant and the Grizzlies.
They have a chance.
The Grizzlies.
They have a chance.
Over on Bloomberg, 99.1. Caps over on 106.7, like you mentioned. Maryland on 980. And also, my guys, the George Mason Patriots are at Marquette tonight.
How about
that?
It's
a big test. It's a big test.
Marquette's tough. Hey, let's give credit to the Georgetown Hoyas a couple of nights ago. They won a game. They'll play tomorrow.
Hoyas win.
Hoyas win. So,
how's my guy Rich Shabatkin doing? All right.
I always love I love working with Rich. He's great.
He's the best. All right. John Walton's great, too. So we're lucky to have a lot of good play-by-play voices and people behind the microphones here in Washington, D.C. All right. Good spot there. Hope you enjoyed that. Caps fans, big one on tap again tonight. If you're going, man, I'm jealous. I wish I was going. I wish I would have. I just wish I wouldn't feel like so old and tired. I just want to be on the couch and not having to drive home at 11 o'clock at night. So that's, you know, just either listen to it in John's call or I'll watch it on ESPN Plus because I got that as well. Sucks that Joe being Locker get boxed out of these things, but, you know, them's be the breaks with TV and networks and leagues. So anyway, good spot there. Bounced around all over. Again, it is much more than Alex Ovechkin. I'll tell you that much. I mean, Alex has been great. But it is so much more than Alex Ovechkin. And if you're sleeping on that, you know, then give them a shot. I know it's early. I know it doesn't determine anything. I understand. Give them a shot. It has been a really all-around good team effort from the Capitals so far this year, as John alluded to and mentioned. All right, good spot there. Let's get back to the football here on a Football Friday. How should the Commanders attack the Pittsburgh Steelers on offense and defense? I want to tackle that next, coming up on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, once again, thanks to John Walton, voice of the Caps, on the call tonight. Caps Pens over on The Fan, Odyssey app, everything in between. We do have breaking news. J.P. Finley, by the way, is going to give us a shout in a little bit. But we do have breaking news. J.P. was on this earlier over on his show, 10 to 2, Monday through Friday with B-Mitch, and that the Commanders were working out a bunch of kickers, and now they have signed a kicker. As reported first by Mike Garofolo, confirmed by others, Zane Gonzalez is being signed to the Commanders practice squad to help as an insurance policy for Austin Seibert, who's dealing with a hip. He's been limited the last couple of days. Certainly, again, practice squad and the game day elevation allows you basically to keep, again, Seibert on the active roster and elevate now Gonzalez if they feel like that's the best thing to do. Now, again, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Nobody's a doctor. But clearly they are correctly concerned enough that you want to bring in a guy like Gonzalez to give you an option, to give you an option. Now, the problem is, right, unless I'm missing something here in the quick stats that I was able to pull up before, he's been on injured reserve with the 49ers, and I mean, the Carolina Panthers had him, and he was traded to the 49ers, and all sorts of different things. He was placed on IR. He was released after a settlement, what have you. So I don't think he's kicked, unless I'm missing something. I don't think he's kicked in an NFL game since, I believe it's 2021. Now, that doesn't mean not in preseason or whatever. I'm talking about an NFL regular season game. If I have this right, because of all the IR stints, if I have this right, Zane Gonzalez has not, according to ESPN, kicked since 2021 with Carolina, in which he was 20 of 22. That's almost 91% from on field goals, I should say, 3 of 5 plus from 50 plus. So that's not bad. 10 of 10 from 40 to 49. Long of 57, so he certainly got the leg. 22 of 23 on extra points. So that's the last year that I have any quantifiable regular season statistics for Zane Gonzalez because of all of his different IR stays over the last couple of years. One with Carolina, one with San Francisco, and then out of it so far this year.
Oh, well, you know what happened in week two with the Giants and Commanders.
Sure, absolutely. Graham Gano.
Do we have a possible scenario here? Could you see two kickers being active on Sunday to prevent what, you know, the worst case scenario if Seibert can't go?
So it's a great question. And people would say, well, duh, you can't have two kickers. Yes, you actually can because of the practice squad game day elevation rules, which allows you to have, essentially, Austin Seibert active and then Zane Gonzalez, again, elevated on game day from the practice squad. That does not mean you have to make a 53-man roster swap, okay? And then you have Gonzalez as either A, an injury substitution, basically what the Giants did not have with Graham Gano that day, and we know how much it cost them throughout the game, okay? But also, you could look at it from a perspective of this. Hey, man, we're going to give Seibert just field goal kicking duties, not place kick, not kickoff duties to kind of spare him. You know, maybe a little wear and tear. Now, personally, I would guess that they're probably just going to have Seibert inactive and Gonzalez up instead of doing that. But you could do that, to your point, Vic, and not have anything. Again, you would have your regular inactives and whatnot, but you could do that if you want. You don't have to only have one kicker active, is the point. So Zane Gonzalez hasn't kicked because of injuries in an NFL game in a while. But overall, you know, not bad, 80.5%. You know, in his career, 29 of 41 between 40 and 49. 127 of 134 on extra points. You know, it's been solid. He's been good. I assume he's healthy. You want to work out, right? He's had plenty of time to get healthy. So this is interesting. Again, we knew because of JP, and I guess some agency tweeted out something. It was not about Zane Gonzalez. It was about another kicker. And then JP was able to get the news that they worked out several kickers. And now they've signed, according to Mike Garafolo, Zane Gonzalez again and put him to the practice squad. So as we were just kind of, you know, talking about this whole situation. So, you know, clearly there is concern, as there should be, and as there should be probably for Brian Robinson, right? I guess he's officially going to be questionable and probably a game time decision, and maybe they'll see how he responds working out. Remember, last Sunday at MetLife Stadium, is JP with us?
I was going to say J.P. Finley called in. He's good to go next segment.
Okay. All right. So good. We'll have J.P. on in just a couple of minutes. So I'll wrap this up quickly. Remember, there was they were expecting, at least publicly, Brian Robinson to play last Sunday. Quinn told Mike Garofolo of NFL Network at like 9:45 last Sunday morning he was good to go. And then he came out, warmed up, and he did not look right and did not play. So have no idea what to expect in that other than B-Rob's been kind of limited all week. And you've got a short week. And then we also know Marshon Lattimore has been ruled out, so he won't make his debut. We don't know if it's the hamstring or if it's not being ready. We don't know. We'll see if JP knows. We'll do that next. Let's get a quick trending alert right here. And then we will come back with JP Finley. We will catch up with my guy on the other side right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, 2:33 on a feel-good football Friday. Good to have you with us, with you until 4 o'clock. And then we'll turn it over to Craig Hoffman at that point, Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock kick. Again, one of the probably last, not definitively, but probably one of the last, 1 o'clock Sunday normal kind of schedule games. This is the price of getting good. The Commanders are going to get flexed on and moved all over the place. But it won't happen this Sunday as they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Joining us right now is my guy, one of the hardest working dudes in all of the sports media industry. I was listening to the Beltway Football Podcast this morning with Mitch Tischler on Monumental. I was listening to his radio show on the way in which he broke the news about the place kickers, as we mentioned, on 106.7 The Fan with B. Mitch. I'll be watching him on NBC4 on Sunday night after the Commanders and the Steelers. And I watched a video of some dude knocking out somebody in a costume on All Ears on NBC4. Is that right? Did I hit everything, JP? I you have so many jobs, I can't even keep track.
Yeah, you did. You got them all. I appreciate you, Roots. Nobody cuts a promo like you, buddy.
Oh, wait, I forgot one. Monumental Plus with the Wizards.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot.
We're out here all casting, baby.
There you go. Do you got any of those games coming up on this 5-game roadie or no?
Give me that one more time.
Do you have any of those games on this 5-game road trip coming up?
I am in there, I think, Monday night.
Okay, gotcha.
I got to confirm that, but I believe I'm in there Monday night.
Right. Yes, that sounds like the Orlando Magic is next up after the Memphis Grizzle.
Can I tell you a conspiracy theory real
yes,
quick
please.
Before we talk football,
sure.
Or do we need to keep it serious?
No. Serious? I mean, come on, man. You know me by now. I used to not be able to take a joke, but I'm all jokes and very little substance now.
Cakes and cokes ain't no jokes. All right. I drive by the Lincoln Memorial almost every day, driving to and from the godforsaken location of that office,
yes.
Of the radio station,
yes.
Right? There is a dead spot right there, right at the Lincoln Memorial. Every time I'm on the phone, it happened here. I was worried I was going to get cut off and that Vic would cut me off the air and bring Sabah back on. But luckily, our timing worked out. So I don't know what it is, but I would like you and Vic to explore in your own time why there's a dead spot right there. I think it's like Nicolas Cage, National Treasure related.
I don't have an immediate answer, but,
okay.
I'll just say this. Maybe John Walton was in the same area because we also lost him for about 7 or 8 seconds during a critical answer.
If he was driving into the arena, honestly.
Yeah, perhaps. We will see. All right, so let's – I appreciate you doing this. I know you got a lot going on. So let's start with, before we get into the actual nitty-gritty of the matchup, you reported earlier, again, on 106.7 The Fan between 10 and 2 with B. Mitch, that they were working out kickers. I know there was an agency that tweeted out something about another kicker that they didn't sign, but ultimately they just signed Zane Gonzalez, a veteran, according to Mike Garofolo and others, to the practice squad, which is kind of the scenario that we talked about. What do you make of this, and how worried would you be considering the Seibert situation and what happened in week 2 for the Giants and all of that?
Yeah, this is really interesting. I checked in with somebody this afternoon and was told that they were working out kickers, just doing due diligence. Now you've signed somebody to your practice squad, which gives you the option tomorrow night to elevate to the active. You're obviously not going to cut Seibert because he's been so good. So if they have to do this, if they have to elevate somebody tomorrow night, all of a sudden this roster gets really interesting with the inactive list on Sunday morning. Because think about it, you've already got Lattimore on the active, on the 53, who's going to be inactive. You might have to have an inactive kicker, which is pretty rare to carry two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just kind of get Cornelius Lucas, I think, is probably going to be inactive.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a little bit of a squeeze. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch. When I saw Wednesday's injury report, you and I have watched enough practice that the specialists just kind of do their own thing, and a lot of times you don't even really think to check. Because if they don't have a kicking day, they're kind of just standing around a lot of the time. And, like, when I saw a DNP for Seibert on Wednesday, that caught my eye for sure. And, you know, he's a veteran. He's been kicking a lot. Maybe they just wanted to give him a day off. But, like, you could easily kind of game that on the injury report and just say it wasn't a kicking day and he was limited. But it was a straight DNP with a hip thing. It's been something I'm monitoring all week because he's been so good.
Right.
I mean, he's been excellent for them. And what I think Commanders fans should take solace in or be, you don't want to be proud of this necessarily, but like, to me, Daboll made just a absolute coaching malpractice decision in week two when he knew Ganeau, depending what you hear, who you ask, they at least knew Ganeau came into that game with a little issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets popped on the opening kickoff and out for the game. They had an empty roster spot, dude. They didn't even use their full inactives that day.
Right. But to me, that's as much on Joe Shane as it is Daboll, is it not? I mean, just revisiting that?
I mean, there's always that debate who controls the 53 and all that and the inactives. But sure, assuming they have a relationship where they're talking about the roster and the game plan every week, you can blame whoever you want.
Yeah, when you're looking at AP and DQ, though, I mean, we know, we all believe they are very harmonious on the same page, all that. So the scenario, and maybe I missed it in your answer, but Vic and I were kicking it around before you joined us. Could you possibly have Seibert active, right, with the thought of maybe he just kicks field goals and Gonzalez practice squad elevation so it doesn't cost you a 53 spot, and maybe he handles the kickoffs or maybe it's reverse or something. I don't know. Is that a scenario in your mind that you could see, or do you think it's one or the other?
Sure. I mean, we don't know, dude. We don't know the severity of the injury. DQ gives very little information. And maybe they test it again tomorrow afternoon. So yeah, at this point, with the kicker position, I think we got to imagine every scenario is at least plausible. But maybe you go into it, you're like, all right, we think Austin's fine, and we're just going to roll with him. And then in the first, second quarter, after a kick or two, it ain't right, and they have to go to Gonzalez. What is good news, the silver lining to this, I guess I would say, is they are accounting for it and making a plan if it goes sideways.
No doubt. And that is what the Giants did not do, to your point.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't imagine anybody surprised, yourself included, that Lattimore is not going to play. My question is, and I know it's just a guess because they won't give specific information on this, do you think this is more hamstring related or more he just got here Wednesday related and we want to give him time to ramp up, or could it just be a combination of both?
Hammy. I think it's the hammy. Mm-hmm. I think talking to him Wednesday when he spoke, talking to just folks around the building, and then DQ, I don't want to say tipped his hand a little bit, but he was asked about it. He was asked about the hamstring injury and was like, yeah, he's not going to play this week. I think he was saying, yeah, that's a thing. Two games in 5 days also. Like, maybe they're looking ahead to Philly and seeing if they can –
especially the type of physical competitor he is,
right,
could really be an asset.
Well, I only asked that, JP, sorry to jump in. I only asked that because, you know, there was a lot of speculation, and maybe it was somebody that you had on. I can't remember. I mean, we've all had so many different New Orleans people on, but they said, oh, yeah, that hamstring, that'll get healthy real quick now that he's out of New Orleans, you know? So I wasn't sure whether that was a legitimate, like, thing. I'm sure it was, but how significant it was, because that might cost him the ability to play against A.J. Brown on Thursday night, too. I know I'm not asking you to play doctor, but there's no guarantee just because he misses Sunday, which he will, that he'll be ready to go Thursday, and they really need him in that matchup.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I never want to play doctor with you, Rooster.
Yes, please,
but
don't.
Yeah, dude, I think multiple things can be true in that he was really unhappy in New Orleans, and I think things with Dennis Allen had gone very sideways,
right.
And I think you saw a lot of stuff from Saints former and even current players on social media that hinted at how unhappy all that was, and maybe there's a willingness to push through a little bit more now that he's out of that and on a contender, but I think we've also seen Washington and AP and DQ really err on the side of caution, mm-hmm. over and over.
Yeah.
Brian Robinson, I don't know that he's thrilled he was kept out of that Giant game. He was kept out of the Raven game. You know, I think there's – perhaps it's being responsible or cautious or whatever, but, like, I think they're trying to take a very big picture, mm-hmm. view at this stuff. Because Lattimore didn't seem to hint one way or the other when he spoke the other day. You know, we've all talked about this 100 different ways, but, like, I do think the injury stuff was a part of the calculation to trade for Lattimore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for these guys, they are looking at it. This dude is really, really good. And we want him on the field when he's prepared to be at his
right.
best.
We didn't have him until Tuesday, is your point, and we're 7-2. Not that that's going to absolutely continue, but, like, not rush him before he's ready mentally, physically, more importantly, so that you don't have a re-injury, hopefully, and then lose him for a significant period of time. You mentioned B-Rob not being maybe, you know, thrilled with having a, you know, sit out now two games, including last week when they all thought he was good to go. Any sense on that? I mean, I assume it'll be a game time decision, much like last week, but any sense on that?
I don't have a sense on that. He didn't seem thrilled yesterday in the locker room. That could have been something else entirely. I don't know. I wasn't out there today. I was in studio today. Clearly this thing's lingering. DQ said, you know, it is the same leg where he had the knee injury, but that the injuries are not correlated. Like, it's not like his hammy is hurt because he was overcompensating for the knee.
Right, right.
I think some of it, too, I think the way Rodriguez ran for them last week, the way Eckler has been really a pretty dynamic player throughout, you know, they maybe feel they're in position to allow themselves to make sure their guys are 100%, mm-hmm. before they have to push them back out there.
Yeah. You were talking this morning, I was listening this morning. I guess you guys recorded it yesterday on the Beltway Football Podcast with Mitch Tischler, available on, again, Monumental and all that. And we're talking about JP Finley, 106.7, with B Mitch, 10 to 2, and on the Odyssey app and all the stuff in between about getting an early start. And certainly that makes sense, right? Because if you get an early start, I don't think you just mean 7-0, although that's fine. But, like, if you can get the Steelers to maybe not run Najee Harris 25 plus times and be really balanced and well-dimensional and multidimensional, that puts more pressure on Russell Wilson, who's not as mobile. Is that kind of like the way you would draw it up ideally, if you had to draw up a perfect kind of game plan in your mind?
Yeah, for me, it's not much to do with Russ's mobility. It's, if you look at their plan in the two games Russ has been in, he's thrown the ball, I think, 28 times in both games, maybe 28 or 29, mm-hmm. but under 30 pass attempts. And between Najee and Warren, they've had at least 28 rush attempts.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously their formula, right? They want to run the hell out of the ball, let Russ connect deep on a couple of play-action shots where he's really good. I think you upset that formula, and if you can get out to an early lead, and you're right, not 7-0, but if you can get out and you get Pittsburgh out of their formula where they have to just go to the pass game a lot earlier and you get Russ to 37, 40 pass attempts,
right.
I think that's advantageous for Washington.
Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh is built to play good defense. They want to get a lead so then they can let those pass rushers go after the opposing quarterback. I think, in this game, if Washington won the toss, I would say just go ahead and receive. Like, try to jump on them early mm-hmm. and disrupt what is their ideal flow.
Interesting. All right. Let me ask you this. The only thing strategically that I can come up with that, might really, work to kind of defeat the pass rush, and it's not just T.J. Watt. It's Highsmith. It's Hayward. It's, they got a fast linebacker in Peyton Wilson. All of that is the natural running back screen game. I mean, they've run plenty of screens. They've run running back screens, but they missed one on Eckler, a middle screen last week. That has worked before. It worked in Tampa, I think. But the screen game to Eckler, to whoever else is in the backfield, whether it be Rodriguez, whether it be Jeremy McNichols, over the pass rush, is that something that you can envision? Hey, this might be an area that we can counter some of that pass rush.
Sure. I think Cliff has been really good and really locked in at figuring out ways to beat the opposing defense's strength. And honestly, I think the O-line has been really good.
Yeah.
For them to shut down the Giants last week says a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, that Giants pass rush, Dexter Lawrence is probably well on his way towards Defensive Player of the Year, and now in two games against Washington has been pretty much goose egg. They're doing something right. And I think you got to expect Cliff to continue that. They've called the screen game really effectively. Maybe they've gotten away from it a little bit. I think one kind of unsung factor with this team is how well the tight ends and the back.
Yep.
But the tight ends have been so, so effective as blockers.
Yep.
And helping on the edges. And I just think, I'm sure you get them too. I get all these calls about where's Ben Sennett's production?
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask the coaches that, because they think he's incredibly productive as a mm-hmm. blocker, and they care about that just as much as potential fantasy.
Absolutely, fans, you're going to have to play a lot of 12 and 13 personnel, even more than maybe you'd ideally do, because you got to chip, you got to rub, you got to block, you got to help out Wiley and Brandon Coleman with these pass rushers. So I expect them to be an even bigger part. And I put up video of a play last week. I'm sure you remember the Sennett 3rd-and-1 conversion for 12. They motioned him to an offset eye in the backfield. I love the design of that. That's a way that you when Bates has been occasionally involved in the pass game. We know Zach Ertz, obviously, so the tight ends could certainly play an even bigger role, not only blocking, as you mentioned, but receiving as well in this game. And remember, Ertz wasn't super involved last week, so maybe we see a return to that. Before we run out of time, from a defensive perspective, is it just about getting pass rush on Russell Wilson, or for you, is it much, much more important to stop the run? If you have to kind of make an exchange between the two, what would you say the focus has to be?
I really think it's on preventing the big plays. I think if Pittsburgh's able to settle in and kind of run their grinded out offense with Harris and Warren and, chew up the clock and stuff, that doesn't kill you as much as a 63-yard mm-hmm. touchdown pass to Pickens. And I think, if you've looked at kind of two games that I think could be kind of similar to this one, the Ravens and then the Giants last week, where one half they sell out. Think about it, the Giants ran the ball down their throats in the first half last week, but Washington's able to connect on a couple big plays, some highly effective, efficient stuff.
Yeah.
And they had a 21-7 halftime lead compared to that Ravens game where Zay Flowers just carved them up. Like, the Zay Flowers and Malik Nabers, Zay's first half in Baltimore and Nabers' second half last week, they piled up some yards and some catches, but it was all underneath. Mm-hmm. And Washington's offense is just able to score at a higher clip.
Right.
I think it's about preventing explosives from Pittsburgh.
I'm with
you. And if that means Harrison Warren, you know, get going, but, like, don't necessarily explode, that's okay.
I mean, basically what you're saying is, you know, a couple of 5-6 yard runs, okay, fine, as long as you're not getting gashed like they did on the one run from Swift in against Chicago, is you'd rather get beat by forcing them into longer drives and multiple plays, because eventually you take the gamble that you get a turnover like they did on one of those two bad rushing yard allowed drives last year, or last week, I should say. And as opposed to giving up, like you said, the 40-plus or 50-plus yard play, I'm totally with you, and especially being that you don't have Lattimore. Well, listen, I know you already did 4 hours of radio today. I know you got, you know, a million other things going on. I appreciate you making some time for us. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. I appreciate you.
Later, Roos. Have a good weekend. Right.
That is JP Finley. Appreciate him. Make sure you give him a listen with B. Mitch Monday through Friday, 10 to 2 on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app, NBC4, Monumental, all of that stuff for JP. He's got more jobs than I've got fingers on my hand. I used to have a lot of jobs at one point. I pretty much trimmed them down. I don't want to work as much anymore.
But you still have a ton.
I have two. I have this, and I write for Rick Snyder's Command Post magazine.
You told me before the show that you were not a fan of Thursday night football when they were good games, because that required you to watch the games and not do your other work, correct?
Well, yeah, I have other work. Like, I prepare for the show. I watch film. I watch tape.
You watch tape?
I study. I try and bring something analytically to the radio on this show instead of, how do you feel about this?
All right.
I try not to do cookie cutter radio. So,
because there's only one rooster.
Well, thank goodness there's only one rooster. This is probably best for the rest of the free world. Anyway, thanks to JP Finley. Coming up, we will we'll have a little time, actually, for your calls at 301-230-0980. We'll also do our dueling Super Six Packs. That's right, six games against the spread, including the Commanders and Steelers, our official pick and prediction, and the top six teams in the NFL ranked 1-6. That's coming your way at 3:15-ish. Coming up next, again, how to attack the Steelers on both offense and defense, the keys, as we just talked about, some of them with J.P. Finley. If you want to hop in, we can probably squeeze one or two, maybe three calls, one, two, three calls in here at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.